But let's go to this, John 15. We're going to read from verse 15. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand. And oh, there's no more Bibles left. Okay. You bring your own Bible next time, okay? It's very easy. John 15, let's read verse 15. That's one verse. John 15, 15. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Let me read it again. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for this body and just the work of God through this body, Lord. And the way that you're using this church, God, to impact people's lives and our community around us. God, I thank you for the worship and just the ability that you give us to give, God. And now, Lord, we come humbly to your word and we ask you to speak to us through it, God. Lord, to that end, we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. God, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We love you in this place, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. I really like this passage in John, and it really shares God's heart for us. When he looks at us, he calls us his friends. And I had been sharing through this whole time that, you know, one of the key heart realities for us, when we talk about hearing God's voice and when we begin to practice it in these things, that the primary motive or the primary heart is really for relationship. The way that you have relationship, or you know that you have a good relationship with someone, is your ability to communicate with that person. We're in the midst, almost finished with this current batch of our people that are about to get married, our premarital counseling class, and some that are newly married. And right now we have six couples going through this. I'm not here to talk about those couples, but it's amazing how, you know, few months, a year down the road, later on, they go through the honeymoon phase, everything is moving along, and then they hit this wall because, I mean, really simply put, they just realize that the inability to communicate with one another, and it's causing all kinds of issues and all kinds of problems. And in that same way, when we talk about our relationship with Christ, with the Lord, our inability to hear God, our inability to pray to God, you know, the other side, and when those things are not happening, then the quality of our relationship is not to the depth of what we want and obviously what God desires in our lives, right? So always think the relationship with the Lord is the most important reason for hearing God's voice. Turn to your neighbor, right? Say, hey, good looking, right? Relationship is the most important. Go ahead. This is the real beautiful thing about God, okay? God is not only infinite, but he's also personal. And this is one of these incredible mysteries of God. He is so infinite. He is beyond our comprehension. He's beyond our ability in so many ways, but yet he is so personal. And this is why in our evangelical circles that we talk so importantly, so much about having a personal relationship with God. He's infinite, but yet he is so personal. He knows us so deeply. He knows what we're about. He knows exactly how he made us, and then he knows exactly how to unlock our hearts. It's something that only God can do in our lives. And so the reality, again, if you don't have communication, good communication, then you don't have a personal relationship with him. All right, this is why it's important for us to get in deeper into God's word and get deeper into prayer. Now, obviously, when many of us, when we talk about hearing God's voice, one of the primary modus for us that we come through is really the issue of guidance. Often than not, that people come to me and they're really wrestling with this, and it's because they need to make a big decision. Let me just kind of take a step back and just say this overall, okay? If the whole purpose of you going to the Lord is to make a decision, I think you missed it. I really do. I think you missed it. If your whole sole purpose in hearing God's voice is so you can find out, you know, your next boyfriend or your next job or your next city that you're going to move to, those are all part of it. Don't get me wrong. They're all part of it. But if that's really your sole concern or your sole motive, then I think you missed the boat a bit. Because again, it's about relationship. When we are in relationship, like I said before, if you really want to obey God, if you really want to hear His voice, and you really want to serve Him, it will be difficult for you not to hear God's voice. Really, it will be so difficult for you not to hear Him. Because that's also what God wants. In Exodus 33, I talked about it last week a little bit. Exodus 33, the first part of verse 11. This is what God says. It says, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend." That's what God wants to do with us. We're His friends. We just heard Jesus tell us in John in the New Testament, we're His friends. And He also wants to speak to us face to face. You know, the old covenant is gone. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, the veil of the temple was torn in two. You know, we're going through in early morning prayer right now, the book of Leviticus. And I thought it was going to be really difficult. I've actually been really enjoying myself. You know, we're up to chapter 15 now. And just learning tons through this. But, you know, it's so full of the old covenant, and you're wrapped up into that kind of system. Well, that system's gone. All right, this is new covenant. The temple veil is torn, and now we get to enter into the Holy of Holies. Where before, the priest was very scared to enter in that place. The high priest, only once a year. But now we get to enter in because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. In Matthew 7, let me just read this little passage here. In Matthew 7, 24 to 27, he says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Now, I don't want to focus so much on the wise man or you know, not the wise man and whatnot. Really, the key is, for whatever people were doing, they needed to hear the Lord. This, obviously, we're dealing with the issue of obedience, but, I mean, let's go another step. It's the ability to hear God's voice, to be led and have direction in their lives. So I'm just going to get right into it. Okay, I have five principles to help in hearing God's voice, especially in the area of guidance in some way. And so I hope these principles help you. They've helped me tremendously in my own life. So we're just going to go through it. Number five. Okay, so five. Number one. We call the axe head principle. Turn to your other neighbor and say, "Hey, good looking." The axe head principle. This is from 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. Just for time's sake, we're not going to read the whole passage, but I'll just summarize it for you. These are when the sons of the prophets, they came to Elisha, and they decided to build a dwelling. And so they borrowed some instruments, they borrowed some tools. And as they went out and they were cutting some trees, and one of the sons of prophets, as he was cutting a tree, the axe head, the axe part fell off and landed in the water, and he went nuts because he said, "Oh no, I borrowed this from somebody." You know, most people, when we borrow stuff, we think, "Oh, well, it's not mine," you know. But this son of the prophet was an honorable man, so he said, "I lost it. I borrowed this from somebody. What am I going to do?" And then a man of God, Elisha, turned to the son of the prophet and says, "Where?" I'll just make sure I get this correct. He says exactly, "Where did you lose it?" Let me read this. Hold on. Oh, I'm sorry. It was where did it fall? Right? Where? In other words, where was the last time that you saw this? Where was the last time that you saw your axe head? I mean, we do this all the time. Have you ever lost your keys? That's one of the most frustrating things. Well, now keys are not such a big deal, but now when you lose your phone, that's like anathema, right? And so you lose your phone, and you're thinking, where is the last time that I saw my phone? This is a very, very good principle when we're talking about God's voice, because it goes like this. When we're having trouble hearing the Lord, when we're having trouble discerning God's will, when we're having trouble trying to find God's leading, God's direction, the first thing you should do is say, what was the last thing that God asked me to do? Really simple. What was the last thing that God asked me to do? And then make sure that you did it. Make sure that you obeyed. We shared this a few weeks ago. Sometimes, and I know this is hard to swallow at times, sometimes God stops speaking to us because we're disobedient, because there's an unwillingness to obey. And I shared last time, I said, it's because it's a part of God's mercy. And I'll explain again what that means. Because, see, if God tells you to do something, and God looks at Sandro, you know, and God says, Sandro, I want you to do this. And then Sandro says, well, I don't really want to. Then now God's judgment falls on Sandro. And so, and Sandro's good, okay, he's fine. And so we have to be very aware, and it's really an act of God doesn't want to judge us. God wants to be gracious to us. And so sometimes God doesn't speak to us because he knows that you're going to disobey. And so this axe head principle is really simple. Whenever you lose your way, whenever you feel lost, you can't really hear the Lord, always go back to the last time you heard clearly from God. Just always, the last time you heard clearly from the Lord, and ask yourself, did I really obey what God asked me to do? Did I really come under? Did I really submit to the Lord and obey God in this task or in that command or whatever it may be? And after you have, now you have clarity in your own heart that you've obeyed, and now you can move on into what God has for you. It's really important, the axe head principle. Right, the key question, really, in this whole thing is, have you obeyed the last thing that God told you to do? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. Church, right, child of God, have you obeyed the last thing that God asked you to do? I mean, something that was very clear to you. Did you obey? Were you led, and did you obey? Many times, like I said, disobedience obstructs our ability to hear from the Lord and get direction. And so make sure, always go back to that. It's really simple, the axe head principle. Right? Did I obey the last thing that God spoke to me about? Did I follow through on that? Was I very clear about this? And a lot of times, you know, when you're in this situation, like I'll tell you what I do. A lot of times when I'm in this kind of situation, there's not much clarity, which honestly is abnormal, okay? I want to tell you, that's abnormal. And so when those times come, I pray Psalm 139, search me and try me, O God. See if there be any hurtful thing within me and lead me in the everlasting way. And so because there may be sin that I need to deal with. And so, you know, I always check myself. And part of that dealing with sin is really this issue of obedience. Is there something, God, that I did not obey you in? And so you wrap yourself in this axe head principle, and then it leads you to the next thing. So number one, axe head principle, okay? Number two is what I call your own leading principle. Your own leading. Turn to your other neighbor and say, good looking. Your own leading principle. This works like this. Don't rely primarily on others, but get your own leading. You know, own leading principle, own leading, makes sense, right? Right? Get your own leading in this. Here's the text, 1 Kings chapter 13. And 1 Kings 13, it's a long passage, I'm not going to read it to you, but I'm just going to talk you through this. There was a prophet, he's unnamed, and serving under the reign of Jeroboam. And what he did is he was ministering to Jeroboam, and Jeroboam did something wrong. And so he stretched out his hand, and God made his hand to wither. I mean, just shrunk before him. And so God used this prophet to minister to Jeroboam, and his hand was restored. And so it was amazing. So Jeroboam the king turned to the prophet and said, hey, why don't you come with me, you know, and come to, you know, my palace, and because I want to give you a reward. I want to feed you. I want to, you know, a drink, and we're going to have a celebration. I want to give you a reward. Well, the Lord had spoken to the prophet very clearly and told him to go the opposite way and neither drink or, nor eat. And so he says, no, I can't do this. So he goes his way. As he's on his way, he meets an older prophet. And this older seasoned prophet comes to him and says, and basically reads his mail and says, you did this and you did that and you did this. And just basically prophesies over him, kind of a telling of what's gone on, prophetic words. And then this old prophet turns to him and says, why don't you come with me? And this prophet says, no, I'm not going to go with you because the Lord had spoken to me about this. And then instead, but this old prophet turned to him and said, well, an angel told me that you should follow me. And unfortunately, the Bible says he lied. This really is a confusing story, okay? And so, trust me, I'm still trying to wrap my brain around it. Why would this prophet lie to this other prophet? I don't quite understand this. And so this older prophet lies to him because an angel did not speak to him. He was actually just testing him. And unfortunately, he went with the older prophet, ate and drank. He sinned before the Lord. The next day, he goes on his journey, and a lion eats him. It's a crazy story, right? I told you it's a crazy story. And so all these things happen, but it was this idea. He didn't follow his own leading. He followed someone else's leading. He followed someone else's prophetic word in this regard. And so you have to be very, very careful. Always get your own leading. Okay, listen very carefully. God will use others to confirm your guidance. Okay, this is a principle. God will many times use others. He'll speak through the church. He'll speak through leadership. He'll speak through friends. And all these things will happen all the time. So he'll speak through very mature people. He'll speak to through very immature people as well. Right? I mean, God spoke through a jackass, you know, through the scriptures. You know, remember Balaam's donkey? And so we got to be very aware that there's so many ways that God does this. But when it really comes down to it, though, you should not rely on others. You should have God speak to you directly himself. It's really, really clear. It would be dangerous to rely primarily on other people and not get the word of the Lord for yourself. And I know it's easier to have other people speak to you. You know what I mean? I mean, it's easier if we, and this is the thing about, and I noticed this is not only a Hong Kong phenomenon. I mean, this is a world phenomenon. If we're having an apologetics conference coming up on at the end of this month, and I mean, it's going to be really good. I mean, really, it's going to be really good. I have so much respect for Dr. Ryan. Not only was he my old pastor, but just the way that he's moved and the books that he's writing, and I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, just to tell you a little story, he was my pastor. The church that I actually went to actually closed down. I had left since then. It closed down. And he was trying to get work, basically. He did his PhD. He actually got kicked out of college and picked up his grades, ended up doing a master's at UCLA, did his PhD at Fuller, went off, and then couldn't find any work anywhere. And so God basically called him to mission. So he ends up going to Mexico. He's Korean-American. Ends up going to Mexico, learns Spanish, and starts teaching systematic theology in Spanish. Wrote like 8 textbooks in Spanish. You know, comparative religion, systematic theology. I mean, just on and on. And just how God has just shaped his brain and his mind. You know, the movie Da Vinci Code came out. You know, and he watched it and he was so appalled by the movie. He was really so offended as a Christian. All these false truths. So he went out and started writing an email. Turned into a 300-page book. Right? Basically on, that's how he works. Right, and so I'll just say, I mean, this is going to be an incredible conference, but you know, the reality is most of you guys are really not that interested. I mean, let's just be honest, right? It's like, you know, it's like, oh, learning more about how to reach the lost? Nah. You know, do I really want come on, let's be real, okay? But we understand this. But if we bring a prophetic person, if we bring someone in who's an internationally known prophet, you know, and he can you know, speak wisdom and you know, kind of read your mail, this place is packed out, man. Amen? Come on, let's be honest. Okay, I mean, let's check our hearts for a moment. Yeah, because, oh, does he have a word for me? It's so much easier, right, to get someone else to hear from God for yourself than for you to actually put the time and the energy and the effort, you know, and the heart to actually hear from God yourself. It's part of our sinful nature, you know, in that regard. It's just easier for other people to do it because a part of it works like this, okay? Now, let me speak into your psyche for a moment, our sinful psyche. What happens is if we hear from someone else, and if they're wrong, it's not really my fault. It's their fault, right? I can't really blame the direction or action because, hey, you're supposed to be a well-known prophet, and you missed it. And so even though I went down this road, I can't really blame myself. It's actually your fault. And so it's easy for us to lay blame and not take that for ourselves. And so you have to be very, you know, real about that. But I'll tell you, it's dangerous. It really is. It's really dangerous. God will use others to confirm. Say confirm. It's important. Confirm. But if that's your primary leading, I'd say you need to switch to another game plan. It's really important. This Lauren Cunningham said this, and I'm paraphrasing this because I'm trying to get exactly what he's saying. He was speaking at this conference, and he was talking about there were people that would come to him, and basically say, you know, the Lord spoke to me that you're supposed to do this, Lauren, you know, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I love Lauren's comeback. He would always say to this person, and he says, you know, that's really important to me, and that's really important to God. So then it will be really important for God to speak to me personally about this. And just really simple. You know, I mean, it's such a big thing to reorient my whole life to this and that. Well, that's really important what you're saying. It's really important what God is saying. It's really important to me. It's really important to God. So I think it's really important for God to speak to me personally about this matter. I mean, has any of you ever been tried, kind of semi-manipulated prophetically? I know I have. Right? I've had people come up to me and, you know, and God spoke to me that, you know, you're supposed to be my husband. And, you know, I mean, crazy things like you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that. You know, and I just say thank you, you know. But you know what? If it's, I use Lauren's line, that's really important. What you say is really important. And it's really important to me. And it's really important to God. So I think it's important for God to speak to me personally about it. And so make sure it's get your own leading in this. Prophetic words should be confirmations of what God is already speaking to you about. Really, it's confirmations of what God is already speaking to you about. I'm going to get to that a little bit later, but just keep that in mind. Confirmations. Okay? Number three, the timing principle. The timing principle. This is what it means. Don't talk about your guidance or what God has said until God gives you permission to do so. This is huge. This is where most young prophetic people, you know, people that are learning to hear God's voice, this is where they get off track a little bit. I think they've heard very clearly, yes, but the issue is timing. You know, when you hear from the Lord, the next question you should ask is, when, God, when? All right, so don't just talk about your guidance or God speaking to you until God gives you permission to do so. This is Luke 9:36. And he says, and when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and reported to no one in those days any of the things which they had seen. There was a timing to things. There was a timing to revelation. Ecclesiastes 3:7, the second part of that, The Bible tells us, Solomon says, a time to be silent and a time to speak. And a lot of times when we get prophetic words, or we get God's leading, it's a time to be silent until He leads us, until He asks us. Sometimes when God speaks, it's something that's immediate. Other times, there's a certain kind of delay that happens. And this is why. These are really four main purposes of why we should wait, or avoiding these pitfalls that we have. Number one, one of the main ones, is the issue of pride. Pride. And a lot of times we could be very prideful just simply by the fact that God spoke to us. Oh, God spoke to us. And even though you want to share and all these kind of things, it comes out of more of a prideful heart than really anything else. And so you have to be very aware of that. The second pitfall is really the sin of presumption. Presumption. In other words, you speak before you have full understanding. Have any of you done this? You know, I do, unfortunately, a lot of marriage counseling. And I say unfortunate because if couples coming to you, they got problems, right? And so it's not a fun event to go through, but a necessary thing. And so a lot of times when couples come, usually it's one couple, one spouse comes first, and they share with me all these things, you know, all the dirty laundry about my husband and this and that. And I'm just like, what? And I get upset. He did what? He did that what? And, you know, and there's a part of me, and I want to, like, call him up on the phone and say, come to my office right now. We're going to have a talk and things. And so I could very easily move in presumption. But, you know, next thing you know, I end up talking to the guy, and then he shares his part. And I'm like, what? She did what? What? This happened? What? You know, and then I want to call. And so it's like there's a balance there. There's usually more to the story in hand. And so you got to be aware. And the thing that you can do that's really hurtful with people in these situations is that you only get part of the story, and now you move in presumption, and you make a judgment on only part of it. And you didn't get the whole thing, and so you erred in that way. A lot of times when we talk about hearing God's voice, and you know, and especially in this issue of timing, make sure the whole reason to hold off on speaking is because you may not have full understanding yet, right? You may not have full understanding yet. And so wait until God comes full circle, because He's not just going to leave you hanging. Wait till God comes full circle and gives you the full story or the full revelation, and then you may be permitted to speak. Also, sometimes, you know, this whole idea of waiting and this timing is that if we speak too quickly or whatnot, we may miss God's timing, or even more important, we may miss God's method and what He wants to do. And the last thing, of course, is the purpose of waiting is, you know, you may bring confusion to others, especially if you share a half, you know, or you just get half revelation, or you don't get the full understanding of what God's sharing. And so it's important for us to, you know, to recognize timing. And this really, really this issue of timing really goes more so hand in hand with really the concept of maturity. I think when we're young and we're hearing God's voice and we're really excited about that, we're just telling everybody everything all the time. You know, there's some things that God just wants to keep for yourself. I mean, did you know there's some things that God just wants to keep for Himself? Deuteronomy says the secret things belong to the Lord. I know that's extremely frustrating for us. It's extremely frustrating for me. You know, I want God to share everything, but there's just some things He says, Sam, you know, I'll tell you when you get to heaven, okay? You know, and you just have to trust me until then. And if you're not willing to trust me, then I can't really help you. You know, a simple reality. And things, but there's just certain things there, and so it's important for us that as we mature in the Lord, as we mature in hearing God's voice, that we also have a clear understanding of this idea of timing. You know, wait till God releases you to share, because timing, I mean, it plays a huge, huge, huge role. You know, I mean, this is really my own story. You know, when I met my wife, I mean, my wife now, I've shared many times, when we first met, she didn't want to have anything to do with me at all. And so, but probably, I would say probably within 6 months of having met her, the Lord spoke to me very clearly that she was going to be my wife. I mean, as clear as can be. And so I just endured, you know, the whole time for the next, I guess, would have been, 2 years or so. You know, I just endured because I just knew that I knew that I knew that God had spoken to me. But can you imagine what would have happened if I would have shared with her when I first heard? Think about this. She already doesn't like me, right? She already thinks I'm a jerk. That's a whole other story. You can ask her yourself. She really does. She thought I was the biggest jerk. You know, part of it is because the first time I met her, I rebuked her and stuff. And so it's really, you know, guys, don't follow that game plan. That's not what you want to do when you meet someone. But I did. You know, no excuse. And so she thought, can you imagine if I said, you know, the Lord spoke to me that you're supposed to be my wife. She would have moved to the next state. You know what I mean? I mean, she would have left town very easily. And so there is a process. And I'll tell you, you know, not sharing and just wrestling with God through this and just, you know, the drama of relationship really impacted me tremendously. You know, and I see how that works. With that said, let me just share this little tidbit on dating, okay? I know many of you guys are married here, and so you guys are like, thank God that's done. But there's many of us that are still dating. Listen, talking about dating, please, I beg you, do not use God in any of it, okay? In other words, if you like somebody, don't say, God's speaking to me about you. Just say, I like you, okay? If you want to break up with somebody, don't say, God's leading me to another season. You know, or, you know, it's like so religious, so spiritual. God has got my interest in something else or whatnot. Just say, I don't like you anymore. I mean, it's going to hurt a little bit, but you know how, let me just wrap your brain around. You know how hurtful it is to say, or really the big kicker is, God's speaking to me that we're not to be together anymore. You know how hurtful that is? You know what that says to the person? That says that not only have I rejected you, but God has also rejected you. It's crazy. God didn't reject that person. Your feelings just changed. And why do we as Christians, why do we feel the need to spiritualize, and not just spiritualize, but manipulate through the spiritualization, especially when it comes to dating? I mean, let's just be real and say, I just like you. Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, you look good to me. You know, you smell nice. Whatever else piques your fancy, okay? Sorry, as you can tell, I haven't dated in a long time, you know? So I don't know what words you use these days now. But just be real and just be honest and don't try to manipulate people or try to put this spirituality on top of your own desires. Just make it simple, right? And then, especially if you're breaking up with someone, don't ever say, God spoke to me that we're not supposed to be together. You know, that may be the case, but don't blame God, right? It just didn't work out. And so, I have a very clear viewpoint. If it didn't work out, that's great. That's just one person to cross off the list, okay? And so it's not like a tragedy. It just didn't, as long as you keep your hands and your mouth to yourself. You guys don't understand what I'm saying? You know, the whole issue of sexuality, you keep your hands and your mouth and your other appendages to yourself, I think you'll be fine, right? Now, you don't do that, you can cause a lot of problems. And that's why, you know, the whole issue of sexual purity is so prevalent, you know, in our Christian lives. And so just make sure that any revelation, just keep that revelation to yourself. Right? Don't use it to manipulate. Don't use it to spiritualize. You know, don't use it in any form or fashion. Just be real and honest through that. Of course, pray. You know, of course, hear from God. Of course, all those things. Right? But don't use that to either get together or break up or any of these things. You're really, you know, you're not really representing God in the best way when we do those things. Okay? So the timing principle. Don't talk about your guidance or your leading until God gives you permission to do so. It's really, really important. Number four, the wise men principle. The wise men principle. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. And it says, "This is the third time I'm coming to you. Every fact is to be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses." Now, the wise men principle is named after the wise men. If you remember when Jesus was born, these three wise men, they were all at different places, but yet at the same time, they individually followed the star, and in so doing, they were all led to the same Christ. Right? And so God will many times often use two or three or more spiritually sensitive people to confirm what he is telling you. It's exciting to confirm what God is telling you. The key word here again is confirmation. See, God's really good to bring us full circle. If you're really praying and you get a leading from God and you get some direction and you may be unsure, but you're really stepping out in faith, so many times what God will do, God will bring other people around you to really confirm what God is saying to you during that time. It's the wise men principle. You know, this has happened so many times, you know, in our own life. I'll tell you something here at SP. You guys know, I mean, we've been here now for, I think this is our third year. And so we just re-signed a lease. And so we're here at least for another three, I think we signed a 3+2, so a 5-year lease. So we're here, but we know that this is called what? SP 1.5, okay? We call it SP 1.5 because SP 2.0, in other words, what we feel like our ultimate destination for our church building and family is somewhere else, but it's going to take a miracle. It is. It's going to take a miracle. We obviously want to be in Central. We want to be in this area. We believe that we're a church of the city, but Central be very, very, very expensive, okay? And so we know this. We understand this very well. So we are raising money, we're doing that, and we're still doing that, and God's really blessed us through that. But we know that ultimately a miracle is going to have to happen. You know, we're a church of about 500 now here in Hong Kong. I mean, to find a place that seats in this area, I mean, we're going to need not even million, we're going to need hundreds of millions of dollars to make this happen. And so we felt God, in almost our leadership, we felt God speak to us that God's going to do this. And that's the word. So we're stepping out in faith. And so we've done the vision fund. And, you know, we're still raising money. You're still free to give to that and whatnot. And I think our goal was to raise $100 million, remember, in 3 years. And so we didn't reach 100. We hit about 70 right now. And so we still have about 30 in the first plan. But we really believe that God's actually going to give us land. He's going to give us a building. I mean, that's what we're praying for every week, especially at morning prayer. And so through this, so that's the leading and the direction that God's given to our leadership at this church. Well, I mean, it's amazing how God confirms it. I go out. I'm in Singapore, and I just speaking at a church. And the pastor of the church was asked to meet with a very prominent prophetic. Her name was Cindy Jacobs. And so he goes, "Sam, you want to go hang out with Cindy?" And I said, "Sure. You know, I got nothing else to do. I just finished preaching at his church." And so we went and met at the hotel. And so we're talking and just, you know, and I had met Cindy years ago. And we're just talking and whatnot. And she was just really more had attention towards my friend, you know, Pastor Dom, you know, from Trinity. And just really attention towards him. And then out of the blue, she's like in mid-conversation, sipping her tea, and she turns to me and says, "Sam, God's going to give you guys a building. God's, you know," and she starts prophesying, and I'm just like, "Oh, this is awesome." You know, because, I mean, we get the word of the Lord, but then there's more of a leading that happens. And so I'm excited. She tells me she's going to be in Hong Kong, so you know I want her to meet my wife, and so you know we end up meeting. This is probably about like 4 months later, and so we're talking again, and she totally forgets what she prayed for in Singapore. I mean, because you know, that's what prophetic people do. They just kind of hear from God and just let it out, and they just totally forget. And so I'm like, oh, I was a bit discouraged. I was like, oh man, you know, I wanted details. You know, I wanted to like know where it was, and you know, that kind of stuff. So I was like, And then out of the blue, she starts, and then, you know, we're talking again, and then she starts prophesying again and just shares even more so, you know, the kind of the same word. And that's like amazing. Well, a few, I guess 2 months ago, I took our pastoral staff to Singapore for a leadership conference at Cornerstone. And we're there, and so we're kind of sitting in the front row, and one of the pastors, you know, a well-known pastor from Dallas, Texas, is preaching. And for whatever reason, you know, because I'm sitting in the front, and he's like, every time he walks by me, he keeps like touching me, you know, he's kind of like patting me and says, hey, you know, it's like, I really like you. You know, I'm like, that's kind of weird, right? And so I'm just being honest, you know. And so then, so he starts speaking, and we have this Q&A session, and so he finishes his Q&A, and then he comes over to me. I just, out of the blue, I'm just sitting down minding my own business. He comes over to me, and he pats me on the shoulder, and he stands above me, and all my pastors, the whole staff is right there. And he puts his hand on me, and he just starts prophesying. And he says, God's going to give you a building. And he says, you're going to pay pennies on the dollar, you know, for this thing. And I'm just like, whoa, this is crazy. And this guy has no idea what's going on. You know what I mean? Just and during that conference, he doesn't pray for anybody, right? He doesn't prophesy over anybody. I'm the only person in the whole conference out of, I don't know how many people were there, you know, and it's just this guy named Mike Evans. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. Incredible teacher. And it's just amazing. It happens over and over and over and over again. And God just confirming and confirming and confirming. You know, there was a period, even in my own life personally, but that had to do more with church. Even in my own life personally, when God began to speak to me about apostolic ministry, and I had no idea what that meant. I was absolutely clueless. So I started reading all these books. I remember going to the bookstore. I got like about 6 books, and I just started reading about it. I still had no idea. And, you know, just this over and over again. And then, you know, as I was really praying about, God, you know, what does this mean? What is this about? And over a period of the next 3 months, I kid you not, everywhere I went, just some random dude would come up to me and just start prophesying something about the apostolic. I mean, it was just unreal. It's just, you know, I would be at this meeting, and some guy would just walk up to me and says, you know, the Lord's speaking to me about this, and then you just pray. You know, I'd be at another meeting, and just random, and, you know, and a lot of these were not even charismatic meetings, you know. These were like, you know, very very Bible-based, believing churches and their meetings, and they would come up and start sharing all these things. And I began to realize, man, maybe there's something to God in what he wants to do, you know, through this whole thing. And I mean, it's true. Listen, Solomon's Porch is an apostolic church. You know, I mean, you may not know what that is. I'll keep explaining what that is. I barely know what it means too, right? But this is something we're learning in. But it's just confirmation after confirmation after confirmation, you know, of what God is doing. And that's what it'll do. This is this wise man principle. And you realize that, because remember, God knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows that you know, every once in a while, even though we may get the word of the Lord, he knows that we may need a little push every once in a while, you know, in the right direction, and God brings that confirmation around us. To me personally, it's so astounding how God works in this way of really confirming this over and over again, right? So the wise men principle. And the last one, number 5, This is not necessarily a principle, but this is just more something to just be aware of, okay? You know, through all this, I need to say this at the end. There's also the counterfeit principle. Turn to your good neighbor, say, good looking. Counterfeit principle. Beware of counterfeits. Remember, the devil is the father of lies. And so, you know, he is going to try to deceive you in that. So always be very, very aware of that. In the enemy, remember, God, only God can create. Okay? Only God can create. The only thing the devil can do is counterfeit. And so last week I shared, you know, some people talk about like, oh, these false religions or these cults, they speak in tongues. So that means that, you know, that tongues is not real, or other people, you know, they prophesy and they foretell the future and all these things. So that must mean that there is no prophetic ministry. For me, that is, I have the total opposite effect. And when I see counterfeit, when I hear that these cults and false religions are doing this, it proves to me that there's a real thing, because only God can create. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You got to understand, and I just want to teach for a moment here, just to give you some clarity of what I'm trying to say here. The word, when he says in God created, the word create in Hebrew is the word bara. And that word means create, it means fashion, right? But this word is very particular because only God is the agent. So, realistically, people say this all the time. You know, my kids come and say, oh, Appa, I created this. Well, if I'm like a mean dad, I'd be like, no, you didn't. Because you don't create anything. You only assemble, put things together. You know what I mean? You develop, but only God creates. It's the word, bara. Because only God is the agent. The word create in this way, right, the literal definition is to bring something into existence. In other words, the word create, bara, is to create out of nothing. That's what it means. So when we talk about God is the creator, or only God can create, only God can make something out of nothing. The only thing that we can do is we can form, we can build, we can design, we can develop, we can construct, we can prepare, but we can never create. Only God can create. It's really important. This is a story. A man was arguing with God one day about being able to create just as God did. So God let the man go first to prove that he could create just like God. And so the man stooped down, picked up a handful of dirt, and God said to the man, no, that's my dirt. Right? You can't create anything. That's my dirt. I already created that. Right, just to show that man actually can't create anything. The enemy can't create anything. The only thing the enemy can do is counterfeit. And listen, church, and he is really, really good at that. He is really, really good at counterfeiting. And so it's important for us to recognize this, right? That, you know, again, the man and Satan, we can only make, we can only form, design, build, develop, but only God creates. Only God, bara, right? Satan has a counterfeit for everything of God that is possible for him to copy. It's the reality, right? That's all the enemy does. And this is really, when we talk about like our ministry, our life, or these things, it's probably important for us to try to figure out what God has created us for. That would probably be huge. You heard me say this before, right? There's two significant moments in a person's life. The first is when they're born. The second is when they realize why they were born. When they realize, this is what I was created for. Because you know what the enemy is going to do? The enemy is going to come and try to divert exactly what you were created for. Let me talk in the realm of cities for a moment, because you know this is kind of was an area of study for me. I come from a suburb of Los Angeles, but I come from the L.A. area, the L.A. basin. Los Angeles, in Spanish, the word Los Angeles literally means a city of angels. There is, now when we use the term what you're created for a calling, missiological circles, we call that a redemptive gift. In other words, there is a redemptive reason why you exist. There is a redemptive purpose why cities exist. And Los Angeles is the city of angels. Angels, the primary duty of an angel was to be a messenger. And so for the longest time, Los Angeles was actually one of the greatest places of where the message, at one time, Los Angeles was the center of Christian communication. So many ministries were there, and the messages were going out and whatnot, and so the enemy came and diverted, right, that redemptive gift. And now the purpose, so in other words, a message is going out, but what's the message? Pornography, right? The place in the world where they make pornographic films, right, in the LA Basin area. Pornography, the message of Hollywood, You know, and you know, the licentiousness, and you know, and the against the family values, and you know, all these things that are raising up. That message is still going out. Notice again, what does the enemy do? The enemy simply counterfeits that gift that God has placed on the city. That's why I still, even though I live in Hong Kong, I still pray for LA, right? Because I believe that gift is going to come back into the forefront. I believe that Los Angeles is going to be the place where the gospel is trumpeted, you know, violently again, instead of all this other junk that Hollywood and you know, and the pornography industry is you know, laying out there. And so it's important to recognize, right, that there is a created order. There is a gift. There is a redemptive gift, even in your life. And then ask yourself, how is the enemy coming in to divert this calling in our lives? Huh? How is the enemy coming in to divert, to take us off track in some way? And because he's the father of lies, it's usually something that's very, very subtle. Right? It's not going to be so in your face in this regard. And so we have to recognize this. Right? Satan has a counterfeit for everything of God that is possible for him to copy. Acts 8, 9 to 11. There was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great, and they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, "This man is what is called the great power of God." And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. And these guys were calling him, right, the great power of God. That wasn't God, that was the devil. And it took Paul, who had the spirit of discerning of spirits, that came in and saw the work and just shut it down right there on the spot, right? So, you know, Exodus 7:22 also, "But the magicians of Egypt did the same with their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, not listened to them as the Lord had said." So we see there's counterfeit things happening. Let me share with you some counterfeit guidance that the enemy uses. Ouija boards, seances, fortune telling, palm reading, tarot cards, astrology. You know, it could seem quite harmless, you know, like, oh, what's the big deal? I read my horoscope, you know, in the SCMP. Is it in the SCMP? Chelsea, is it in the SCMP? All right? You don't know? Okay. Get rid of it, okay, if it is. You know, Chelsea works at SCMP. So, it's important for us to recognize that these things, they're dangerous. They're very, very dangerous. They're counterfeit. Remember, the enemy is not going to tell you, "Hey, guys, this is dangerous. All right, don't do it." No, he's going to make it seem very pleasing, very, you know, very nice, very lovely. It's really good for you. You know, something like yoga. "Oh, this is so good for you, right? This really will help your breathing and your stretching, right?" And you just tie yourself down to the enemy, man. And you don't even know it. It's crazy how this works. You just given yourself to the counterfeit, right? And yet you have to be very, very aware of that, right? The guidance of the Holy Spirit leads you closer to Jesus and into freedom. The guidance of the enemy and all these things that I talked about leads you away from God into bondage. And that's precisely what happens, right? One key test for true guidance is simply this. Does your leading follow the principles of the Bible? Does your leading, is it biblical? Right, that's what it comes down to. Is it biblical? Because the Holy Spirit never, say never, never contradicts the Word of God. You know, Canadian Mounties, when they, officers are taught how to discern counterfeit bills, they actually don't study counterfeit bills. They actually study real bills, right? And they sit there and they study it and they study it and they study it so well that when a counterfeit bill comes, they just know right off the top. They don't have to study the counterfeit stuff. They just study the real thing. Brothers and sisters, if you don't want to be led astray, just study the real thing, the Bible, right? God will lead you and he will feed you, right? The more you seek to hear God's voice in detail, right, the more effective his speaking to you will be. and really speaking into your own calling. Let me close by saying this, okay? Every follower of God, every one of us in this room, right, each one of us has a unique ministry. Every one of us. You know, I said it a few weeks ago. Every one of us are full-time ministers. Every one of us, okay? We're just disguised as bankers and lawyers and entrepreneurs, you know. But every one of us, we are full-time ministers. And each of us has a unique ministry. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Peter 4, 10, 11, Romans 12, Ephesians 4. You know, the scriptures are very clear about this. In our unique ministries, it is imperative that we hear from the Lord. This is the definition of the will of God. Okay? You guys ready for this? The will of God is doing and saying the right thing in the right place with the right people at the right time in the right sequence under the right leadership using the right method with the right attitude of heart. And we talk about, Lord, we want to do God's will. Again, the will of God is doing and saying the right thing in the right place with the right people at the right time in the right sequence under the right leadership using the right method with the right attitude of heart. Now, I'm not trying to say it's impossible. You know, I know that's a feeling, oh, it's impossible to do God's will. No, it is very possible, but you got to hear His voice. You can't just be led and do your own thing. You got to hear from the Lord. Practicing hearing God's voice, brothers and sisters, believe me, it gets easier and easier the more you do it. You know what it's like, really? And people always ask me, you know, Pisan, what is this like? It's like picking up the phone and hearing the voice of your best friend. You don't have to say, who is this? You know? If you've been married for 10 plus years, okay, anyone married 10 plus years, and your wife calls you on the phone, and you say, who is this? You're in big trouble. You're in really big trouble. You know what I mean? And so your wife, someone, your best friend calls you, you don't have to say, who is this? You know exactly who that person is. Why? Because you know the sound of their voice. Why? Because you've heard their voice many, many times. Because you're in a relationship with that person. It gets easy. It's like picking up the phone, hearing the voice of your best friend. You know the voice because you've heard that voice so many times. Amen? Let's close our eyes. Just as way as an encouragement, look at the prophet Samuel. Compare Samuel in his young age and his old age. In his young age, the Lord spoke, and he had no idea who that was. In his old age, he says, not one of his words fell to the ground. He built a relationship with God. So when we're talking about hearing God's voice, talking about leading and direction and all these kinds of things, let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Maybe you're in a place where you need to make a decision. Maybe it's a big decision, maybe a small decision, but you're in a place of decision. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. He loves you. You're not an afterthought. He's not more concerned about big things in the world. You know, things like ISIS and Afghanistan and those things. He is incredibly concerned about you. And He loves you deeply. And He wants relationship. And so as the worship team leads us in a song today, can I just invite you to go before the Lord and just build that relationship. Some of you, you've been away for a long time. It's okay. God is just a prayer away. Just say, Lord, I'm here. So simple. James 4:8, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Sense in my heart this morning that there are some of us here and that you're in a place where you're needing some direction and you're needing some guidance and you're needing something, and we just want to minister to you and just pray for you. So just everyone's eyes closed. The first thing obviously is building relationship, and I hope that you do that. Also, part of the beauty of being a part of a church is that you have people that will contend with you, stand and fight with you, for you, on your behalf. If you're here today and you know, you're saying, you know, Sam, I would appreciate some prayer. I'm trying to figure some things out right now, going through some stuff. We don't need to know exactly what it is, and it's okay. God knows. You would just appreciate some prayer. Just really simply, just can I ask you just to lift your hand in the air and just leave it there, okay? So I'm just trying to find some direction. I feel a little lost right now. It's okay. It's okay. Now, if you have your hand raised, I want you to keep that raised and just close your eyes. Now, everyone else whose hand is not raised, I want you to open your eyes. I want you to look around, and there's some people that have their hand raised around you. I want to encourage you to go to them right now and just minister to them. Just love on them right now. Just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to them. Well, let's just go. Let's just be the church. Move around. And let's just pray for one another. Huh? Let's stand with them in their care and concern right now. You just watch what the Holy Spirit does. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, God's going to speak to you guys. There's a few of you here, and every time you try to open up the Bible, it's kind of like there's like a glaze that comes over your eyes. The Lord really wants to minister to you. Father, I just pray particularly, God, for those friends of mine in this room or that have a really difficult time reading the Bible. Lord, when it comes to magazines and other books, there's no issues. But when it comes to the Word of God, there's a glaze. Lord, we come against that spirit of stupor right now in Jesus' name. We pray for clarity to come. Now try that next time you open up the Word of God. That glaze is not going to be there anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. There's more of your presence, God. For some of you that raise your hands, there is a fear. You're a bit afraid of what God is going to tell you to do. And I just want you to have your heart at ease. You need to know that God is for you. He is for you. He doesn't want you to be miserable. That's a lie from the enemy. He came that you might have life and have it abundantly. The word is overflowing. More life than you can imagine. And so, Lord, we just cancel every lie of the enemy, God, that is in some ways afraid to hear from you, Lord, of what you might ask him to do. Send them to Africa or something like that. Or bless them. Let's continue to minister to our friends. The rest of us, let's rise and let's sing this as we close.
So wonderful.
God. Oh, you're so wonderful, God. Lord, I thank you that you speak to every child of God. Lord, it is the right as a child of God to hear your voice. Lord, help us, God. Lord, hearing you is just a part of our relationship with you, God. It's not just for spiritual people. It's not just for pastors and missionaries, God. Lord, it's for everyone that calls themselves a child of God. I pray that you would burn that deep within us, Lord. God, and we're just your dumb sheep, God. So lead us and feed us, Lord. We thank you, God. We seal this word in our hearts. I pray that we would grow, God, in relationship with you. We grow in guidance, Lord. We grow in following hard after you, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We love you, God. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Would you hug someone next to you and say, man, have a great week this week, hearing God's voice.